Hey, America.
Start listening now!
We never sounded so good!
Yeah, we're together.
We're gone.
Friends forever through things. I'm sorry.
What? Wow, that reference, though.
Oh, no, Danny, you're lagging.
Oh, no. Danny, you're on mute.
We'll fix it later. Roll it. And welcome to another real live episode of 12 Points from America, a Eurovision contest I screwed it up from America, the country where I can see my friends again.
Yay!
I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I'm Samantha.
I'm Danny.
We've all had our shots.
Mm-hmm. And we all just watched Eurovision.
Oh my God!
I thought you meant like we had our shots, like we just took a bunch.
I mean that too.
We are recording this episode within 15 minutes of the contest actually ending.
Mm-hmm.
It's not very, very late. In fact, the sun is still up here in Minnesota.
And quite warm.
Yep. It's it's only about quarter after 6 p.m., which is, I guess, one of the benefits of doing a song contest podcast remotely. Because if we were doing this live from Europe, it would be like
2 in the morning.
Yeah, 2 in the morning.
I'd be way drunker.
No, it'd be
yes.
Oh yeah,
it's about 1:15 a.m. there.
Oh, and they still have a press conference.
Yes,
to do
they
that.
Do.
That's right. Well, Italy's not going to sleep until 7 a.m. But that seems usual for them.
They don't seem like they sleep.
Rock and roll.
And they can't be killed by conventional weapons.
Rock and roll.
All right. If it's 1:15 a.m., is it appropriate to say buonasera, signori e signori?
Va bene. Allora.
Yeah, we're gonna add a lot again, aren't we?
Oh, we should bring him back. Is he alive?
Toto Cutugno?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. I bet he'll make an appearance.
Oh, I'm sure.
Anyway, if somehow you're listening to this podcast but haven't heard, Italy won the 2021 Eurovision Song Contest.
Woo!
We are going to Italy. They had 524 points. France in second place with 499 points. So pretty close. Mildly surprising, I think Switzerland finished in third.
They did.
With 432. Then we have Iceland. Really, really great finish, especially just considering all of the everything there. They had 378. Ukraine, fifth, 364. Heck yes to Ukraine. The crowd loved them.
They really did.
Unbelievable top five. A lot of things went right with the contest. Before we get any deeper, though, Sam, hit them. Club them with the socials.
Oh, right.
Ah, socials. Brah. Hit us up on social media. Join in the conversation with us. Hit us up at 12pointsUSA on Facebook or Twitter, or 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. We would love, love, love to hear from you. What are your thoughts about the show? I know that I'm kind of overwhelmed by everything. Maybe y'all are too. Maybe by the time this episode airs, maybe some thoughts will be a little bit more coalesced into something speakable. At this point, I'm just a mismatch of languages, and I have no idea. I nearly lost a vocal cord screaming so much when those Italian votes came in.
I can confirm she did.
I'm sorry about that.
Yes.
It's all right.
The best part was that the mailman came by with like the mail like about like 10 minutes before. So if he had just been a little bit later on his route, he would have thought that, you know,
somebody was being murdered.
Crimes were happening.
Yeah, crimes were happening if you were the Netherlands, Spain, Germany, and the United Kingdom.
God. Yes. Oh. Yeah, we have. I think there were a couple of crimes that happened tonight.
Yeah.
If the top 10 looks fantastic, I think.
It does.
The top 10 looks about how it if not in the order we expected, about the countries that we expected.
More or less.
To be in the top 10.
Yeah. Rounding out the top 10, following Ukraine in fifth, we had Finland in sixth with 301 points. They seemed to really, really storm the public vote. The public really, really seemed to go for Dark Side.
Yeah.
Followed up by Malta, Destiny, Jim McCass doing super, super well with the jury vote, but not quite matching that with the public vote, unfortunately. You know, you could point fingers, you could say the fact that she was coming really early in the running order, that sunk her chances, the fact that she's from a country with no real diaspora or neighbors. You're a small floating island, or not floating island, a small island in the middle of the Mediterranean. It's a shame, but Destiny, we're proud of you. Following that, in eighth place, we've got The Roop Discotheque at 220 points. Russia's Manesia, Russian Woman, in ninth place.
Hell yeah.
At 204. Solid. And then tied at 170 points apiece, we have Greece and Bulgaria.
That's right, it's a top 11. It's a top 11.
Pants, dance.
So the top 10. So quick question on Lithuania. We are the winners. That was ninth?
Sixth, I think.
Oh, it was sixth. Okay. I was going to say, did this beat that one?
Oh, no. Mm-mm. I think they just missed it. They certainly got more points than that, but it was also a different voting system.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a shame.
But the Roop can still feel super proud of this. This is the best that they have done since, let me quadruple check that, but I think possibly since We Are the Winners.
Where did When We're Old finish?
When We're Old came in 12th.
Surprisingly well, if I remember.
Last time they were top 10 was I've Been Waiting for This Night by Johnny Montel, which came in 9th place in 2016.
Really?
Yeah. Prior to that, We Are the Winners was their last, previous time in the top 10 in 2006.
Can't believe that almost worked.
So those are the only three times Lithuania has finished in the top 10.
Wow.
Solid result. Eighth place.
Oh, it's phenomenal for Lithuania.
Absolutely.
I mean, honestly, it is not what we were hoping for and not really what we expected, but it is a really great result from Malta, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
I just think the biggest surprise here is that Malta came in 7th to Finland in 6th. I think that's a surprise.
Yeah, with a nearly 46... 40,
mm-hmm. We knew Finland was going to outclass a lot of other acts. We knew Finland was probably going to be top 10. I just did not. I was not braced for Finland beating Malta. I thought Malta was going to be top 3.
Well, one just did a lot better with juries than public, and the other did a lot better with public than juries. So that's just how this works.
Finland got a surprising amount of 10s from the juries that we were seeing.
They were also consistently included in those top 10s.
We could talk about the juries. There were 12 points so widely distributed.
Oh, yeah.
We got a lot of 12s from a lot of different countries going in a lot of directions we weren't expecting.
San Marino got one.
San Marino got a 12!
We got to hear the phrase, our 12 points go to San Marino.
Yeah.
That is a reward in itself.
That is very, very true.
And then San Marino, who I had predicted possibly coming in the top 10, finished, I think, disappointing everyone. Yeah. Only 50 points.
Yeah. Really shocking.
That is a shock.
I really think that's a shock.
I was like, they're going to clean up in this televote. Oh, no.
Now, before we go back to talking about the songs that went really, really well with both jury and televotes, let's talk about San Marino and Below on the table.
This is one of the most painful, awkward sequences I've ever seen in any Eurovision.
Especially now.
Under these scenarios.
Yeah. I watched Italy hosting in 1991.
I mean, just to recap, we had United Kingdom, 0 points. Germany, 0 points. Spain, 0 points.
And Netherlands, then the
host country, 0 points.
All from public.
Right in a row. Nothing from the public for any of them. I'm shocked.
It's heartbreaking, really.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking for all four of those countries. But I think it was a crime for the UK to walk away with 0 points this year of all years. Mm-hmm. I think they should have at least gotten single digits.
I mean, the thing is, like, the UK, it's not that they sent a bad song, and they did not send a bad singer. They just happen to be competing in a year that is so unbelievably strong.
Mm-hmm.
He was relatively early in running order. He was only 9th. He was surrounded by songs that were more high energy or more memorable in one way or another.
Yep.
And he just happened to be a salmon surrounded by sharks.
Mm-hmm. And trumpets.
And trumpets.
Yeah. It's just suffered from the curse of being fine.
Yeah.
In a year where everything had something fairly remarkable or interesting going on.
Guys predicted that.
I doubt
a palatable song that wound up just being, no one will give it 1 point. It'll be the 0.5 point.
Exactly. Like, if you come in as everybody's 11th favorite song, that doesn't mean you're going to come in 11th place. Yeah. That means you have no points.
Yeah, I mean, we aren't going to get the full breakdown of, like, the full rankings from every country. I can't imagine this was at the bottom of a lot of countries' rankings. The problem is, it just wasn't in a top 10. It wasn't in a single top 10. That's all you have to do.
Yep.
And we didn't get there. And Germany, I think, were only in one or two country votes because they only had 3 points total. Spain, 6. Netherlands, 11. And for that to happen in front of the home crowd was just so, so awful. I will say I enjoyed, frustrating as it is, how James Newman handled the situation.
Yeah. You could tell that the stadium was on his side.
Yeah, he got a curtain call like he deserved. But I think by the time they got to the Netherlands and they'd done this to 4 countries, the crowd
noise
was
in the stadium
not
was
having
like,
fun with it anymore.
Like, they really thought something was
amiss.
Did anyone get points? Like, can you check this again?
Yeah, can we? Yeah. Can you just look at the top? Can you just see what Frank's got?
I'm realizing Martin Osterdahl, when they went to him, he says, yes, we have the verified score. And I was kind of like, that's a weird way to put that.
Why? What is it?
And so every time when Jan would say, like, get ready, I was like, all right, is it going to be 300 or 2?
They do that every time.
Get ready to receive. Oh, look at that. You got a point. Just that one. A little point.
It's a big point.
It's all for you. You don't have to share it with anybody. It's all for you.
Wow. What a show.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Can we recall, just going down the list, who all got 12 points? Or we might as well go up.
Well, Greece and Cyprus.
Yes.
Italy got like 3 or 4.
Yep.
France got like 4 or 5.
Moldova got a couple.
Switzerland got a bunch. Yep. Iceland got 1.
San Marino. Albania, a surprise 12.
Albania got 12. Mm-hmm.
Malta got a handful.
Mm-hmm.
Ukraine got 1.
Yeah, yep. I believe so.
Yes, they did. Greece got a 12.
Yeah. Bulgaria, we saw get a 12. Yeah.
Did we say Lithuania? I think so.
They got one surprising.
Did Portugal? Malta
definitely did. Yeah.
Bulgaria and Portugal got 12. Portugal got a 12 because they even looked a little surprised. I knew we were going to rack up a couple sevens and sixes, but
I believe Serbia got one.
Serbia got one, yeah. Mm-hmm. That was a surprise.
And Serbia. We'll do a longer breakdown of the final. I think next week where we get into a lot of the songs a little bit more. But any other like big immediate reactions from anyone?
Just how good the show was. I honestly, maybe it's just the fact that we were so starved for any Eurovision.
Doesn't hurt.
Yeah. But this was just such a high quality show. Like even the songs that I personally disliked the most were still not of bad quality.
Which were? Be specific.
I want you to call out the singers by their names too.
I just don't.
Ticks.
I don't want Philip Kirkorov. I don't want Philip Kirkorov to, you know, kill me.
And to see him at the show too.
I appreciated that the first time they showed him on camera, they immediately played a clip of "I Don't Feel Hate."
Didn't work.
Good timing.
Didn't work.
I thought it was
okay. I mean,
okay.
It kind of worked. The film did remarkably well, considering.
Two things I'm grateful for. Hosts that, for the most part, were not awkward. That were able to roll with the moment pretty well. And really A-plus interval acts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, very
really great. Possibly the best that I've seen at the live shows.
Loved it.
The whole show moved very quickly. Considering it was the same length of time, it felt like it was moving constantly. Mm-hmm. And I never felt like, oh, this is boring.
And I also felt like, because this was the 65th running of the show, that there were a lot of callbacks to earlier Eurovisions in a way that I felt was very natural and very welcoming. It didn't feel too forced. It wasn't like, oh, here we're going to break people out. It's just, it's like, this is a family reunion. We get to come together again. Let's honor some of our previous winners. And we saw Mons, we saw Lordi like we always seem to. But we also got to see Teachin, who haven't popped up in a while. We got to see Lenny Kerr from 1969, which was a beautiful, beautiful moment. And you realize just how timeless some songs really are. So I thought it was a very, very well done and well balanced show. Something for new viewers as well as something for old veterans of the show.
This isn't to take anything away from the Netherlands, but think about how they kind of had 2 years to put this together. But at the same time, they had to put it together in such a way that was safe and was functional, and
it's impressive what we got.
It really is. That you know, we're going to remember this as the Corona Eurovision, so to speak. I mean, last year is really the Corona Eurovision, I guess. But I really think we're going to look back on this and see an incredible accomplishment.
Oh, yeah.
That they put on, by and large, a pretty... It's a weird word to use. I mean this in the most complimentary way possible. Mm. A normal Eurovision.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And considering two of the major performers had to quarantine, I was like, oh, it's happening. How many of these are going to go to tape now?
Yep.
And it was just the one contestant.
Yeah.
Outside of Australia, we had no like backup performances. We did have pre-recorded performance for Iceland, but they did get to Rotterdam.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's about, I think, what
we would have seen.
Yeah.
Like, as close as we could have gotten.
Would they have,
you know, we got final
would they have finished higher if it wasn't a tape? No. Looking at everything, maybe
a couple points here and there, but I think the way that they were able to blend Iceland's footage into the show...
Mm-hmm.
I think it was blended in very, very well. It wasn't like Australia, where you could see that it was a different stage, and at the end of her performance, it kind of zoomed out, and you saw that it was on a screen rather than on the stage.
Yeah.
I think the Icelandic delegation actually had words with the EBU or with Avrotros to say, hey, can you not do that for us? And after they finished their performance, it shot to the audience rather than the stage with the screen. Mm-hmm. You really didn't notice Iceland's absence except for in the flag parade where they were just, you know, a picture of them smiling and waving. And when you went to them in the quote-unquote green room, which was four out of the six of them in their hotel room.
And then the others on iPads.
Yeah, which was super cute.
That was a
very
iPads
nice
on the dummies.
I really have to give them kudos for putting on a brave face and making the best of that situation.
Yeah.
Because that is got to be so unthinkably awful to get that close.
Yeah.
And then not be able to be there on the night.
Yeah.
But
like after years of trying.
Yeah.
And especially considering that one member is pregnant and, you know, all the stress that you know, can put on a person. And then to be stuck in a hotel room and not be able to... I can't even imagine.
Oh, but to finish the best that your country has ever finished.
Iceland?
They've
come in second twice. It's been a few years.
Oh, they did it
in
1990. But they finished fourth, which is the same as second twice.
Way to go.
Well done.
It's like being
four
second
number
back
ones.
Then.
It's like four wins. Congrats, San Marino, on their 22 wins. Yeah.
Keep it up for last time.
I will say, however, like, We are sad about the circumstances that Iceland find themselves in. However, we as listeners and fans of the show and fans of their music have gotten the chance to see them on this massive stage, and it's now incumbent upon us as enjoyers of music to take these artists that we've learned about today or throughout the course of this year and take them with us as we move forward. I know that I have purchased tickets to Dali's show when he's coming to the United States next year. And, you know, if you are in a situation where you can support these artists, either by seeing them in concert, buying merch, buying their music, this is where we come in.
Mm-hmm. I'll also note that if you can't get tickets, well, actually, if you can get them or not, I believe Dali dropped an album or an EP, I think yesterday.
Yes.
Which has 10 years on it. It has Think About Things on it. It has some new songs. It has a Chromeo remix of 10 years, which is sweet.
Yeah, I believe Hoover Fauna just dropped an album like last week as well. This is a great, great opportunity to follow these careers. Like, this is 3 minutes for people on stage, you know, six if you went through the semifinals, or six in the case of Måneskin tonight having the reprise, but it's a short period of time in what we hope will be long careers for all of these artists.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, it's on us.
I think one of the last things that we should say that is truly remarkable about this show is just how many songs that were presented in English, especially like Portugal songs in English, but the top five has only one English language song in it.
Yeah, absolutely, which is incredible. Linguistic diversity is always something that should absolutely be prized at the contest, and I'm so, so happy to see it. I believe out of the semifinals, we had one bilingual song fall out, and that would have been Croatia from semifinal one. And then we had one song in Danish fall out, but otherwise...
Which one was that?
Latvia.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
How could you
da 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 Danish. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And I'd also like to congratulate all of those songs, like especially Italy's and Ukraine's, for showing that like very, very modern feeling songs can really have a ton of success while being sung out of English.
Mm-hmm. I'm just thankful that Italy and Finland, for as much as people feel about that, but two rock songs did shockingly well.
Extremely well.
Especially with the televote.
I am excited to see the ripple effect that this has on next year's national finals and things like that.
Well,
rock is going to be back, probably for a while.
Well, I mean, after Lordi won, there were a ton of rock songs that flooded into the contest in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking forward to seeing
for
that.
For better or for worse.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, it was, you know, a ballad that won that following year. However, the variety of genres that we started to see after Lordi, it was really a watershed moment in the contest history.
Yeah.
So this is great. And I'm just so, so, so excited to see what Italy does with hosting the big show.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I am a Sanremo devotee, but of course, this is a very different beast. But considering
Sanremo's going to be a zoo next year.
Oh my God.
God.
As if it isn't always
zoo. But imagine. If you can imagine on top of it, knowing that you're going to be not only winning Sanremo and going to Europe, Eurovision, but that it's going to be Eurovision here.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it is pretty amazing that a song whose words were by and large not understood at all scored 524 points. And then another song that also had words that weren't largely understood got 499 points because... We especially talked about it with Barbara, that you don't have to understand a word of French to understand what she's saying.
Oh, yeah.
The way it is. And I think, honestly, in its own way, Italy is kind of the same way.
True.
Yeah.
The devil may care, whatever. Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
They were authentic and powerful. And I mean, it seemed like it's going to come down to Italy and France, and did it ever.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? You know who I'm sure is breathing a massive sigh of relief? It's the delegation team at France Television.
Yeah, we were talking about that.
We got to do two of these.
Yeah, like honestly, like, hosting Junior Eurovision, especially when you haven't hosted a Eurovision major vocal event since the 70s, it's a massive undertaking to take on Junior, which they will be, we found out, on December 19th for Junior this year. It'll be in Paris at the Le Scène Musicale venue that was opened there in 2017. But I'm sure that the management team there, they have the knowledge that we did an incredible job. We came the best that we have done in eons.
What are you talking about? Tom Lee was great.
Get out. and we don't have to host next year. We could focus our efforts on Junior Eurovision, focus our resources on Junior, and regroup and maybe take it in 2022 to bring it home to 2023.
Yeah. For a delegation like France, second has got to be the absolute best spot.
Yeah.
A very close second, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
It's like we get just about all the praise, none of the responsibility.
It's like
when your siblings have kids.
I'm just having a super
Also nice to see some great performances from two auto qualifiers.
Yeah, it's really sort of an agony in the ecstasy.
Yeah, it's mixed bag on
that. I said two.
Just looking at the stats for France. The last time that France made the podium, so top three, 1991.
Wow.
Yikes.
When they technically tied for first place, and if the countback rules had been different that year, if they had been like what we have this year, they would have won it.
Hmm.
They had 2 years of second place results, 1990 and 1991.
Wow.
So that is
right
incredible.
Before everyone sort of flooded back in from the Eastern Bloc.
Yep.
Yeah, basically. But yeah, they hadn't made top 10 since Amir's Je Cherchais. Prior to that, Patricia Cass in 2009. And then prior to that, you have to look back to 2002.
What was the 2009 one called again?
Ici fallait la faire.
Oh, and what was the artist?
Patricia Cass.
Do 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 do.
God, I love that.
Patricia Cass.
I'm tired.
Why would you be tired? You've just been sitting around eating.
You know what?
All right. I have a feeling that over the next couple of days, we are going to regroup, come up with some more hot takes, especially as we get more details on how votes came through.
Those numbers.
Yes, those delicious, delicious numbers.
Plug them into the Statmotron.
Oh, yes.
I think we'll go over those semis that were shocking.
Oh, yeah. We got the votes on the semis that we will not be going over now, but we definitely will.
Yeah, oh, yeah. There will be lots of takes.
Lots of tears to be shed, honestly. Yeah.
Mm. Cans of worms to be opened. Mm-hmm. So I recommend that you folks at home stay tuned with us. Keep your ears out for our next episode. Until then, follow us on social media. It's 12pointsUSA on Facebook or Twitter, or email us directly at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. What do you think of our winners? Who were your favorites and how did they end up doing? Are you from a country that did particularly well or particularly poorly? I'm curious to know, what is the press saying? Start a conversation. We absolutely do respond, and we would love to hear from you. I don't know about you guys, but I need a nap.
Mm-hmm. I need a shower.
Yeah.
Thanks to Sam's hot house.
Hot house.
So hot right now.
I'm sorry.
No, it's cool.
I mean, it's not, but it's...
Nah, I see what you do there. All right. Well, in that case, get the hell out of my house, and we'll see you next time, all right? But until then, folks, I've been Samantha.
I've been Derek.
I've been Eric.
And I've been Danny.
And America...
Stop listening now!
That's the best we've ever done it.
Just make... and you'll be fine.
And that's the only way to get out of there alive.